Now, before we talk about the Regan-Allen affair, don't feel very badly that you lost Richard Allen. The New York Times had a story this last March, Regan aid assails pacifism in Europe. Richard Allen, President Reagan's assistant for national security, said today he's distressed to see outright pacifist sentiments being expressed in Western Europe. He said at a time where we should be strong, Europeans are even saying that they're better red than dead. Mr. Allen was outraged. According to the New York Times, the mood of Europe, he told a conservative political action conference, is that this is terrible. It's an outright pacifist sentiment, he said, that is surfacing abroad right now. We have to do something about that. Why, this is the first time since World War II that there's been a pacifist sentiment, and Richard Allen was outraged. Of course, he was talking at a group. The conference was sponsored by a Young Americans for Freedom and the American Conservative Union. Young Americans for Freedom was started in 1960, as soon as John Kennedy won the election from Richard Nixon. It was formed by William Buckley of the CIA and Douglas Caddy, and then they brought Theodore Shackley again from Berlin in 1962, and the Young Americans for Freedom brought a group of approximately 20 people into Dallas for a role that they played in the assassination of John Kennedy. And then they became powerful, and Richard Vagary now has the computer that ousted people like George McGovern and Senator Church. All the so-called liberal senators and members of the House of Representatives are being swept clean by the computer network of Richard Vagary of Young Americans for Freedom. And Richard Allen was saying at their conference that they sponsored that he was very distressed to see outright pacifist sentiment. So that's Mr. Richard Allen. The funniest picture in the newspaper this week regarding the Allen affair was actually on the same page on the San Francisco Examiner, November the 20th. On the left side was Nancy Reagan, who, remember, in August decorated her Christmas tree and got all gaga because she would have a magazine article ready in the Ladies' Home Journal on how Ronald celebrates Christmas. And there's a picture of her with her Christmas tree that was done in August. It says, the mystery gift, all she wants from the president is his love for 30 more years, yet here they are in Ladies' Home Journal this month, you better buy it, smiling over what she calls a mystery gift. What is it? We'll just have to wait and see. That's the front page of the San Francisco Examiner this last Friday. And then the column directly to the right is, the Justice Department is not through with Allen yet, and it seems that not only the receipt of $1,000, but maybe it's $100,000, and there's a little box, a gift box for Nancy, and then, of course, he got a silver watch and a gold watch, and then the latest today is that the Japanese newspapers say there's yet another gift for Allen's services, a large gift, but they won't say how it was obtained or the description. Now, maybe in Nancy's little box that she's holding is what the Richard Allen had, but it's funny that she is all excited and gaga over this little gift that she won't say what it is, and I wonder what it is. Another article, Mrs. Reagan, no memory of talk, and I believe there may be some inkling of the truth. She has a faint recollection of the session with the people from Japan that caused the stir. And another article this week, Reagan is upset by Allen's actions that they involved Nancy. Now, how did they involve Nancy Reagan? Was this really just a ladies' magazine that was going to get a picture of her or not? When I took my articles on the Allen affair and put them in chronological order, it wasn't hard to find who was at the inaugural ball or who was in Washington, D.C., when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated as president. We know that Licio Gelli was there. He fled Italy after billions of dollars of cash transfer to Argentina and Paraguay and Brazil and South America, and he's still on the lam in hiding, the fascist who was ready to overthrow the government in Italy. That Masonic scandal was at the inaugural ball in January, along with Mr. Pao, the world's richest man from Hong Kong. But there were three representatives from Japan that arrived, among other people, in Washington, D.C. These people involved in the Allen-Reagan affair arrived on the 15th of January, several days before the inauguration, and you know that Washington was getting very crowded. Now, they went to Blair House on January the 19th. That's one day before Ronald Reagan became president. The inauguration was on the 20th, and they had a picture taken with Nancy on the 21st. But they were at Blair House, and they met with Ronald Reagan at Blair House. The Washington Post, November the 15th, 1981, says the Japanese journalists went to Blair House. They visited Richard Allen, and they met President-elect Reagan, who assured her that the interview would take place with Mrs. Reagan and the president-to-be one day before his inauguration is meeting President-elect Reagan with Richard Allen the day before the inauguration. And I'm wondering if the payoff and the money actually went to Ronald Reagan, and then the photograph with Nancy was just used later the day after he became president as the excuse for their being in Washington, D.C. at the time. Now, there was talk that the Reagans were discussing the Carters and that Blair House was bugged and they threatened a lawsuit because they want to get in the White House before the Carters were supposed to leave at the date of the inauguration. Now, if Blair House was bugged, as allegedly it was, if Ronald Reagan was making a deal with these people from Japan, which is his habit formally as the governor with all kinds of shady people, if Blair House was bugged and if he was meeting with these people, which he was, the day before he came president, then Ronald Reagan will be out of office quick or pretty fast. It'll take a while to evolve. And maybe this is why Nancy has no real memory of this, because she would definitely remember this. The day after he's become president, she would be very busy decorating the place and fixing it up. And maybe she was just the excuse to meet her and put her picture in a woman's magazine. There's absolutely no reason to have her involved in this or have her picture the day after. That kind of scoop isn't that important. So I'm wondering about Richard Allen's role in meeting Ronald Reagan, and how did Reagan get those extra $10 million, and was there more? Is that little envelope said $1,000, and now it's $100,000, now they say it's more. Was the $10 million from people like Mr. Pao and Licio Gelli, and from the Japanese over there with their strong connections to the CIA and Defense Department, and to Richard Allen and his investments as a spokesman for Datsun Motor Cars when the Japanese were going to want a fair shake of the tariff and not be able to be held back from trading their cars as against our gas guzzlers that we make here. The meeting with Reagan is the important thing, I think, that he saw these people the day before the inauguration, and this other tacky crowd was in town also. And they have nothing but money and nothing but power. And I think that that may explain Ronald Reagan's quick trip out to Mr. Baker's ranch in Houston, Texas. When this story fell down, he was out shooting wild turkey in Texas. I don't believe he was doing that either. Baker was the campaign manager for George Bush, who used to be CIA director. And he was entertaining Ronald Reagan out in Texas with the top Texas officials. Now, that is the John Hinckley corner, the John Connally corner, the George Bush corner, all of the people that would take Ronald Reagan's seat if he's pushed out by this or close to it or any of these other scandals. That's who was entertaining him in Texas when this was coming down further. When he was coming home on that doomsday airplane, he was probably wishing the sky was falling. Now, Richard Allen played a key role in arranging the interviews, but was the interview with Mrs. Reagan, or was it with Ronald on the 20th? Mr. Allen says he didn't arrange it, that it was requested from him, that the people who set it up, his pals, were academic colleagues, they were business consultants, they worked in organizations together. We don't know what school he went to with these people, or how the arrangement came. There's so many versions of who introduced these people to Ronald Reagan, but the point is that they were there at Blair House the day before the inauguration. They handed an envelope, according to the news media, to someone in Reagan's party, a close aide, and the person who handed it says, I can't remember who it was. It was tall. It was someone, I don't remember what he looked like. Well, if they were with Allen and friends of Allen, they would have known what the person looked like who received the money. At one point, Richard Allen says he didn't even have the key to the safe, and he didn't have the key to the room. So there's so many discrepancies on where the money was found, how much it was, the silver watch, the gold watch, the little box, more money. Those details will come in later. As I say, the most important thing is that that they met first with Ronald Reagan. And I do believe now that Nancy Reagan was just an afterthought. Don't feel sorry, as I said, for Richard Allen. He, has, as a registered agent, has represented Taiwan and Guatemala, so I'm sure they'll give him one of those two countries. If he resigns, he'll go back to representing those countries. He can have his choice of either Taiwan or Guatemala, like Mr. Casey represents Indochina or South Korea. When they cut up the world, they'll give them some countries, and that will be fine. Now, as far as the Japanese connections to Dotson and whatever's going on over in Tokyo and other cities in Japan and the Potomac International, Mr. Allen's clients, I'm sure that it's all CIA front. William Colby is in hot water because of his links to Frank Nugent, who was murdered. He's a lobbyist for Japanese firms, and there's more to this Japanese story evolving all the time and coming together. At the time of the Wells Fargo episode, when Harold Smith was arrested, and he's under trial right now, he said that it involved the Japanese mafia, the Wells Fargo missing the $200 to $300 million, and it also involves Australia, which I believe is linked to those, the CIA bank there, the Nugent Hand Bank. The Japanese mafia was named in this case of the Wells Fargo Bank in California, the money missing, and then the head of the whole Japanese mafia 2 months ago was murdered, an outright murder that was hushed up. And it may have been timed with this Allen thing breaking open, because this has been stirring since September or before. The president knew a long time ago. And the scandals of this breaking may have started in Japan when Ronald Reagan got tough on the Japanese with their cars or giving them orders on how many weapons they should buy. The Japanese officials may have felt betrayed and began to break this story open. The Nugent Hand Bank has a lot of offices in Tokyo. And then there was another strong link to Japan that has been hushed up out of the news. That's Max Ugel, the man that was named as the CIA director in charge of clandestine operations, covert actions. He has direct links to William Loeb, the newspaper man who died right after his name was in the news. The McNeil brothers are missing. Dennis McNeil was exhumed. He was threatened by Max Ugel. Now, Max Ugel lived in Japan for 20 years, and his business obviously had to be a cover for CIA all along, because you don't go from a private business in Japan to be deputy, to be director of clandestine operations in the CIA. Max Ugel had threatened Dennis McNeil, and shortly after that, Dennis McNeil was murdered. Max Ugel has not surfaced since he was turned down for his role in the CIA. The McNeil brothers disappeared with $3.5 million from, it's in Swiss banks. We haven't heard from them. They said they'd surface soon. So you had the head of the Japanese mafia dying. William Loeb died very quickly just at that time. Dennis McNeil died, and Frank Nugent. So there's more going on in Japan with our CIA and with William Colby over there, the Wells Fargo Bank, the Nugent Hand Bank. There's more going on in Japan than meets the eye, and the scandal of whatever happened between Richard Allen and Ronald Reagan, the real truth won't be coming out for a long, long time. As I say, on September 18th, 1981, William Loeb died suddenly, and he was the man who had so much clout for the CIA that he had pushed the appointment of Ugel. He also had been given $2 million to stay in the newspaper business by Jimmy Hoffa, and Hoffa was linked to the past assassination teams and covert actions. Dennis McNeil, the brother of the other two who worked with Ugel, and the CIA died June the 1st, 1981, after threats by Ugel. William Loeb died September 18th, and Ronald Reagan already knew that this scandal was going to break by September of this year, even though this is the end of November. He knew it, and William Loeb died quickly. And also Jimmy Hoffa's barber, William Genko, was about to testify before a grand jury in Florida when he died down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he was an important person with information about Jimmy Hoffa and probably your Gel McNeil brothers and William Loeb. So that there is a complicated web of people working in the CIA in Japan whose tentacles are being exposed. The Nguyen Bank, the Wells Fargo story, this Mr. Pao and the Nguyen links to Hong Kong, the dope dealing, the head of the Japanese mafia dying in Japan. There is a web of Japanese scandals linked to our intelligence community and people in high office in Washington. And what reason they're falling, how they're going to fall, or why isn't as important as the fact that they link together and they'll pull each other down. And in the process, like Watergate, we'll get a little bit of picture of how they operate and control a lot of the news media, the corporations, the contracts, the way our businesses are run by paying off politicians and expecting something in reward. And, of course, we're left in the middle paying the extra prices. At the time of Watergate, there was a corporation set up at Mullen Associates, which was a CIA operation, run on the board of directors was E. Howard Hunt and Robert Bennett and James Everett and a whole list of people, Robert Mullen, all linked to the CIA. And they had a corporation called InterProgress. And I have the papers from InterProgress that were obtained for me by somebody in Washington. And it's a CIA front. And it has offices in Paris and in Tokyo, and they contribute this brochure on InterProgress as they contribute to professional journalists, just as these journalists came over to see, allegedly to see Nancy Reagan. They advertise that we are a form of government relations, that we have personnel from Washington, New York. When the need arises, we have associated companies constantly operating in various areas. Our overseas staff members are grounded in economics, political analysis. We contribute to professional journals. We assist United States corporations, overseas offices, and plants. They said in New York, the hub of the broadcasting center, we have offices and people in public relations. We assist with newspapers and magazines and writing as part of our operation. Now, some of the corporations that InterProgress uses that are run by this, that have CIA people in them, just as I mentioned last week, Otto von Bolschwang used ITT or Warner Lambert drug or the TCI, the satellite communication system here in California. The InterProgress list as their clients the American Automobile Association, the American Bar Association. That's Leon Jaworski, who covered up the John Kennedy assassination and the Korea Gate and the Watergate. The Brazilian government, Columbia Presbyterian Medical School, the Cuban Freedom Committee, that was the Riley Coffee Company where Lee Harvey Oswald worked, the Ford Foundation, General Foods, Great Plains Wheat Marketing Association, the Salt Lake Mormon Tabernacle Choir, the CIA uses that choir overseas, the United States Department of Agriculture, the United States Department of Commerce, the Yamachi Securities Company, the Tokyo Shibora Toshiba Electric Manufacturing Company, so that they had InterProgress since 1972. Two large offices in Japan where our agents such as E. Howard Hunt and the Mullen Associates had many agents, of course, in Japan. And then William Colby, the director of the CIA, was representing clients in Japan, and then, of course, Richard Allen in Japan. So money is sent from corporations to foreign countries. Then foreign countries deliver it to candidates in this country to deliver what they were put in office to deliver, such as get off our neck if we want to ship you Japanese cars or whatever favors they want. That's how Ronald Reagan becomes president, or Richard Nixon, or Jimmy Carter. They take the money under the table from crime syndicate, from the intelligence community, from money from this country that goes overseas and comes back. So that the Richard Allen case is just one minute example of a lot more that should be exposed, but isn't exposed. It's a shame that it isn't. Finally, I do want to mention a story in the newspaper that you might be missing, but I think is a little hint of something that I've talked about, not separate from what we talk about each week. And specifically, I mentioned once a man who called me, lived in Carmel Valley, who did 9 assassinations for the CIA. And he was assigned to kill Pat Schroeder from Colorado. Some of you might remember that. And he refused to do it. And some agents came out in Carmel Valley and tried to kill him. And he was very angry. And he called me twice, once in the middle of the night for about 10 minutes, and then another time. And I tape recorded that phone conversation with him. And he was so angry, and he told me the chain of command of how the assassinations come down. And some of you might remember this, some of you have never heard it. He told me that in the university, his particular orders came from University at Brigham Young in Utah, a professor, and then he would give the number of a call house in Chicago. And there were various women who were allegedly prostitutes, and you'd call in and you'd ask, say, for Sarah. And the woman would say, well, she's not there now. She's in Sacramento, and she won't be back till next week. Well, the city they mentioned is where that agent goes, and he goes to the main post office of whatever city is mentioned and picks up in general delivery a letter. And in that envelope is a key to a box, either Greyhound or airport, and in the box is a dossier of the person that they're assigned to kill, of their habits or eating habits, the children that are home, where they go, when they go to work, how they are transported, and then they have 10 days to either kill this person or have a good reason not to do it, and they're in trouble. Now, he broke this down in detail. I'm just giving you a 1 or 2 minute sketch of it. And this last week, there was an article in the newspaper out of the Chicago Tribune and the wire services, university funds misused. Siphoned money was spent mostly on prostitutes, the audit indicates. Now, the San Francisco Chronicle had a story that a former University of Illinois official embezzled more than $600,000 that was diverted to prostitutes. And I thought this was kind of interesting. $650,000 is a lot. And he took money from the University of Illinois and put it into houses of prostitution in Chicago, which sounds a little bit far-fetched for somebody in charge of the bookkeeping of the university. Then the San Jose Mercury ran an article, University Funds Misused, the same day as the Chronicle, but it said the money was spent mostly on prostitutes. A former top financial officer of the University of Illinois, known as a nice guy, had taken $600,000, and he put it into a fund called the University of Illinois Foundation, which was a corporate offshoot, UD, University of Illinois Foundation. And it had to do with satellites and computer technology. It was set up originally with $10,000 investment. In 1974, computer technology developed at the University of Illinois. And when the project was abandoned in 1975, the bank account was opened and the corporation was not dissolved. Now, that reminded me of the satellite communication systems such as TCI that was a legitimate government information that Otto von Bollschwang, for the Galen operation, for the assassination teams, used the corporation had been set up and went bankrupt, but it gave them introduction to people all over the world, and money was siphoned off to other places. And one article in the San Jose Mercury said it had to do with market computer technology. Then another article in the paper this morning, this is the Sunday paper, Chicago Tribune says, a trusted man accused of $608,000 secret life. And his wife says that he's not alone in this scheme, that it's involved, that it's a mess, that he's been forced to take the brunt of it, that the money was siphoned to 11 Chicago women, allegedly prostitutes, that moved from club to club in the city and suburbs. And the money originally came from the Defense Department. Parker, this is the man involved in this scam, graduated from the University of Illinois in 1947, worked for General Mills Company, was a car dealer, then went on to become in charge of the funds at the University of Illinois, of the bookkeeping. They set up the UD company. Computer equipment was for the military, but it lay dormant, and the $600,000 was going to these houses of prostitution. Now, he decided he didn't want the job anymore, and he went off, and somebody picked it up, and then he was indicted for the missing money. Now, I don't think that any man who has a double life is going to just walk away with $600,000 missing. He must have assumed that whoever took over his job knew about the operation, whatever it was. There was a club called the Club Terray and a place in Cook County, Illinois, which is exactly where this other guy said the operation was taking place. there was a hair salon called the Catwalk Enterprises. Now, the thing that interested me was that this involves contracts with the military that were, it was set up allegedly for the military. It involves computer equipment for the military. It involves a corporation, a dummy front that was set up but never dissolved. It involves money pouring into the University of Illinois, which is going to these places. And I just don't believe that there was that much screwing around with this money, that this particular man himself was involved or had an operation. I'll bet you anything that this is a tip of the iceberg of the kind of story that this particular man was telling me, that these women might be CIA women or Defense Department women. The money comes to them like Robert Mayhew ran whorehouses for foreign dignitaries that came to this country, worked for the CIA. He worked for the FBI. In the book, James Hogan's book, Spooks, it tells about the houses of prostitution. Bobby Baker ran them for votes for Lyndon Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover and Adolf Hitler. Ran houses of prostitution for political purposes, to get contracts, to get employment, to blackmail people. And also, this man told me that these houses are used for hit teams. And that they call, now if they call Illinois, they could call any other city. I'm sure they're set up in other cities too. But he specifically told me about the one in Chicago, in Cook County. And here is a man who's been running this since 1974 from the university in Illinois. And I think that this computer equipment could, even if investigated properly, come back to the West Coast, to places like Stanford Technology and these dummy fronts set up with links to Richard Helms of the CIA, located in Iran when he was kicked out of the United States for perjury before the committees at the time of Watergate. And some of you might pass this over and think, well, boy, that guy's really getting a lot for his $600,000, and that's a lot of messing around. But these dummy fronts, that University of Illinois Foundation was $631,000, I just don't believe that it was for the females alone. I think it has more to do with the Defense Department, with the kind of scandals that this particular person was telling me, because that's a lot of money. It touches the bases of the military, of the computer technology, of a possible front of women changing their addresses. And if a man wanted a sweetie, he could just, or two, or fix a few people up, he could do it a lot easier. When he left the University of Illinois, his wife said he is being charged, he's the front, that this is only the tip of the iceberg, that he's going to take the rap for other people. And in this morning's paper, she resented the fact that she said her husband wasn't alone. She said it's involved, it's a mess. She said he's been forced to take the brunt, unfortunately, and that's what's going to happen. Well, we'll do more next week. I want to do more on Otto von Bollschwang and the Galen connections to the political assassinations, and also the death of John Lennon next week. But the Ronald Reagan story will keep unfolding, the Richard Allen story, Mr. Casey, Michael Reagan with his crook friend in Los Angeles. The story that I got out last week of the woman from the Galen operation, the Gestapo being Ronald Reagan's secretary, Helene von Damm, that hasn't hit Ronald Reagan yet. I guess if the feathers are flying about the Richard Welch story, they won't appreciate my story about Helene von Damm, because although it was in the San Jose Mercury, it hasn't been reprinted on the wire services, and I've sent copies to Jeff Girth of the Washington Post and Seymour Hersh of the New York Times, and I'll keep sending to people who have written books on these problems and see why the Gestapo queen is sitting in the room next to Ronald Reagan screening the appointments for who goes into the White House. It seems to me that they would screen a little better if the appointment security people want to get a decent cabinet for Ronald Reagan. He's been advised to take people linked to the mafia to every major appointment, practically, as if they want him out of office. And then when they get him out and his gang out, we'll have a full military government. We'll have Admiral Inman in for Casey's job and an admiral in for Richard Allen's right now. That's not good, but it's better to get rid of these known crooks and give the others a chance. Well, this is Mae Brussel. We'll put this material aside for a week and read some more stories and collect information, and then I'll be back with you next week at this same time.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.